Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Samach Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the beginning of the new perek, the sixth perek of Yuma, perek Shnei Se'irei. The Mishnah, which will keep us occupied till the bottom of this Omid, deals with the two goats, the two Yom Kippur goats, and the expectation that they should be similar to one another. When we speak about the Yom Kippur goats, we're talking about the Soyer Lashem and the Soyer Lazozel. The Soyer Lashem was a sin offering whose blood was brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal and was sprinkled on the on Paroches and the Mizbeach HaZov. The Soyer Lazozel was sent away to a cliff carrying with it the sins of Israel. The Mishnah will also describe or teach about a situation where one of the animals died. Now the Mishnah. Shnei Sirei Yom HaKippurim. The two goats of Yom Kippur. Mitzvosan Shu Shneim Shovin. The mitzvah, the optimal situation, the best situation, is that they should both be equal. B'mare, in terms of their appearance, their color. B'koma, their height. B'domim, their cost, their value. U B'likichoson Ke'echon, and be purchased together at the same time. The afalpi she'ein shoving sherim, even if they are not alike, they are still acceptable. Lokach echod hayom ve'echod lemochar sherim, and if they were not purchased at the same time, they are acceptable. You bought one today and one the next day, it's acceptable. Meis echod mehen, if one of them died. Imad shelo higril mace, if before lots were drawn, yikach zug lasheni. So you just bring one animal to serve as the pair for the one that's still alive. V'im mishehigril mace, if the lots were drawn and one of them died, yavi zug acher. Zug means you have to bring two more animals. V'yagriel alehem b'tchila, and do the lot drawing again. We have learned already about the lot drawing earlier in the Masechta, so we're not going to dwell on that. Suffice it to say that the drawing of the lots determines which goat is going to serve in which capacity. You have the Soyer Lashem and the Soyer Lazozel. So you have to choose which one is which, and that is done by the drawing of the lots. Now, after the lots were drawn and one of them died, so you know which one died, V'yomar, and you are to say, and the you are to say, if, let us assume, this number one represents the case that in Shel Shemes, if the one that died was the Soyer Lashem, so then you will say as follows. And you're saying this as you are drawing the lots for the replacement pair. Now, I know that the Lashem one died, so you say as follows. Ze she'ola olav ha'goro Lashem yiskayim tachtov. The goat upon which the Lashem lot has been drawn, it replaces the Lashem goat that just died. And the alternative scenario is V'imshel azozel meis. If we're talking about a case that the one that died after the lots were drawn was the send-away goat, and it's the one that died, so then he would announce upon the second lot drawing, he says, Zeh she'ol olav ha'goro la'azazel yizkayim tachtov. The one that has been chosen as the la'azazel shall be the replacement. And that's the one you will be sending away. It's the only one. Of course, in these cases, the original one that did not die is now going to have a copy of it. There are going to be two of them. In the first scenario, namely where the Shelshem had been the one that died, so, and I need a replacement for that one, I'm going to have in V'yomar, that's right, V'hasheni, in the Shani, the Shani is in case number one that we had three lines ago. In that case, you're going to have two sendaways. In case number two, you're going to have two Lashems. So you're going to have, in case one, you have a double, and in case two, you've got a double. Case one, I know it's sounding a little repetitious here, but in case one, you've got two mishtaleachs. In case number two, you've got two lashems. I've got two of them. I'm only going to need one, right? So it says here, the hasheni, the second one, the double. Now, we don't know which one it is. Is it the original one or the replacement from the replacement set? But that's a separate issue that the Gemara will have to discuss. All we're saying right now is the double, the one that I'm not going to be using, Yireh Ad Shistoev, it is sent out to graze until it develops a blemish, V'mocher, and then as a blemished animal it can be sold, V'yiplu Domov L'Nedov, and the money that you fetch for it at that sale is used to buy voluntary sacrifices. And why is that done, as opposed to just setting aside the double animal to die? She'ein Chatas Tzibur Mesa. Even though there is a rule that there's a rule, there's a list called Chamesh Chatos Hamesos, and one of them is a chatos, a sin offering that the owner already received his atonement through another one that's called Chatos Shekibru Balel. In the case of the private person where that happens, where he achieved his atonement through another one, the unused animal will be set aside to die. Not so in the case of public offerings. And here, on Yom Kippur, we're dealing with a public offering. And that's why the solution for the double, the unused animal, is for it to be set aside till it develops a blemish, and the money is used for a nedava. She'ein chatos tzibur mesa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tomus, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, he says it shall die. The Oid Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Nishbach Hadam Yomus Hamishtaleach, Meis Hamishtaleach Yishpoich Adam. This is a little vague, because what is being said here seems to be what he said just a moment ago, but first we'll translate it and then just point out that the Gemara will actually deal with this seeming redundancy, if you will. Rabbi Yehuda says here, it says the Odom, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rashi says Begemor Meforash Mai Oso Sufi. What is he coming to add? But it says if Nishbach Hadam, in the case that the blood of the Chatos Lashem spills out, what happens? You're going to have to bring a new pair of animals, do a hagrola, and in the case of Nishbach Hadam, you've got your original Mishtaleach. So, but I'm going to have to get a replacement animal to continue the blood application. So I'm going to have two Mishtaleachs at the end of the day. So if Nishbach Hadam, Yomus HaMishtalech. So the extra one will have to be set aside to die. Now, but he just said that, noting Rabbi Yehuda said Tomus just two lines above. Okay, as we said, this has to be explained later in the Gemara. Likewise, Meis HaMishtaleach, if you had your original pair of goats and the one that was supposed to be sent away, it dropped dead, I'm going to have to get a replacement for one. So I'm going to have to do a hagrol again. I'm going to have two goats. I'm going to have, of course, a replacement mishtayach, but then I've got two lashems. So in the event that the mishtalech died after I had slaughtered the chatas lashem and before I finished the blood applications, so I'm going to have to spill out that blood, and just that's it. That's like the idea of yomus that Rabbi Yehuda mentioned. We turn to the Gemara on Amud Beis. We have a marking, a diamond that appears here, and on the side, the Nosei Mivneh heading. The diamonds represent a series, Sidra, Shel, Gzeres HaKosuv, Shehameshutof Lehem. We're going to have a series of scriptural rulings. Common to all of these is Loshon Rabim. You'll see a plural expression. Umiyut Rabim equals Shnaim. We know that when you see something in the plural, the minimum plural is two units. In Kain Loma Kosav Nami Shnaim. Why in each one of these examples does the Torah add the word Shnayim or Shnei, which means two? By the mere presence of a plural, I know that you have to have two. The topics under discussion will be Seirei Yom Kippur, the Yom Kippur goats, Kifsei Mitzora, sheeps that are brought in the case of a Mitzora, Tzipore Mitzora, birds that are brought in the Mitzora purification process. We have a fourth diamond, but it's a little unusual. It's a dashed diamond. At that point, the Gemara will be raising a question from the case of the daily public sacrifice, known as the Tome, the Tmidim. The Gemara, Tono Rabbanan. And here we're making the point that this is the Sirei Yom Kippur. It says, Yikach Shnei Sirei Izim. The Torah instructs the Kehanim to get a hold of two goats. The instruction to Klal Yisrael, let's say. The Torah commands that you shall take two goats. Miuch Sirei Shnaim. The word Sirei that appears in the Pasuk means two, at least. It's me at the minimum of Sirei. Of Sirei is two. Ma Talmud Omer Shnei. Why do you have to say Shnei? It could have just as well said Yikach Sirei Izim. Get a hold of multiple goats. So they would get two goats and fulfill what the Pasuk is saying. Why does it have to spell out the number? Shiu Shneim Shavim. It tells me that they should be equal. And we saw this in our Mishnah. Equal in looks, equal in value, etc. Minayin afalpi she'ein shneim shavim sherim. From where do we know that even if they don't have that characteristic of being similar, it's still acceptable? Talmud lomar, so'ir, so'ir, ribon. If you look in the psukim, Zion through Yud in the Chumash, we started by a citation of Pasuk Hey, but if you look at subsequent Psukim, the Rabbeinu Hananel makes reference, he explains this in greater detail. You see the Torah is Reba, means is including. In other words, you're not restricted to the one case of there having to be the Shavin similar. Taima de Ravi Rachmana. So how do I know that you can get away with two goats even if they're not Shavin, even if they're not equal? Because I have Ravi Rachmana. I have the multiple references to the word Soyer. Ha lo Ravi Rachmana. Had that not been the case, Hava Amina Psulim. I would have thought that if they're not alike, so they're unfit. Ikuva Minolan. This is a very interesting Gemara, and it's analyzing what we would call a havamina, that simply it's in terms of halacha, it's not reality. But what would I have thought is what's being analyzed right now, if not for the Torah writing multiple so'irs, I would have thought that the shoven is binding. So binding ikuva means binding. Where would have I gotten that impression? So salka daita chamino. I would have thought shnei ksiv. If you look at psukim hey zayin and ches, you'll see the word shnei appearing, and I would have thought that the Torah is trying to hammer home that they've got to be the same. And it, again and again and again, says it all the time. You've got to be the same. So it's binding. So that's why I need the Sawyer Rebaugh, the counterbalance, to point out that it's not binding. That they're having to be the same is not a binding factor. Now that the Torah has in fact included unlike goats as being acceptable, shnei lomali, I have three words that I need to account for. What do I need them for? Chad lemara, v'chad lekoyma, v'chad ledomim. One tells me that they ought to be the same, and here it's not binding, but it is a mitzvah. It's the first choice that they be the same in appearance, mara. They be the same in koma, in height. They be the same in domim, in value. Tanyo nami ochi gabi kivse mitzora. We have a similar situation when it comes to the sheep that a mitzora needs to bring. Yikach shnei kivosim. That's what the Torah says in Vayikra Perek Yudalid. That's the Perek dealing with the Mitzorah and his sacrifices. It says he shall bring two sheep. Miut Kvosim Shnayim. When you see the word Kvosim in Hebrew, as opposed to maybe English, you have the word sheep, which is in the singular and the plural in Hebrew. Keves is singular, Kvosim is plural. Minimum plural is Shnayim, is two. Ma Tamad Lomar Shnei. Why does the Torah have to say Shnei? Which means two. I already understand that by the word kvosim, which is in the plural. Answer? You want to know why the Torah says shnei shu shneim shovin? They should be equal. Uminayin shafal bi shein shneim shovin kshirim. How do I know that even if they're not equal, they are still acceptable? Talmud lomar, keves riba. If you look in the psukim, you'll see the word keves appearing a couple of times, including even unlike or non-similar. Taimo de Ravi Rahmana. How do I know to include even the non-similar? Because the Torah includes that possibility. Halo Ravi Rahmana Havamina Psulim. Had the Torah not Ravi, had not included that, I would have thought that if they're not similar, then they're unfit. Ikuva Minolan. Well, that idea that similarity is a binding factor, where would I have gotten that idea? Salka Daita Chamina. I would have thought Tiyeksiv. The pasuk says, "Zeus tiyeh toras hametzora." The word tiyeh indicates it shall be as it is, which would mean something that it is binding. The hashta deravi rachmona keves. Now that in fact the Torah does include the other scenario where they're not similar, tiyeh lomali. So what do I gain from tiyeh? What does that teach me? Answer: L'shar havayosoi shel mitzora. That's regarding the other mitzora procedures. And certainly in our last shiur, we spent a long time on that topic. If you recall, on Daf Samach Aleph, we had a long bracketed section. And so that you have different procedures that are done during the mitzora purification process, those are binding. V'tanyo nami gabi mitzora. Regarding another aspect of mitzvah, in the case of the birds that are brought. Now, these are not sacrifices, but they are birds that are part of the mitzvah purification process. We are not going to spend time on the details. Suffice it to say, two birds are necessary for the mitzvah. And it says in the Torah, tziporim, and that's a word meaning birds in the plural. Miu tziporim shtayim, the minimum of birds in the plural. Birds is two. Matam amar shtei. Why does the Torah say shtei tziporim? Shiu shteim shavos. They should be similar. Minayin shavu pi she'ein on shavos k'shavos. And from where do I know that even if they're not similar, they're still acceptable? Talmud lomar tzipor riba. The multiple reference to the word tzipor indicates this inclusion, this acceptance of even those that are not similar. Time of the Ravi Rahmana. So how do I know that even the non-similar are acceptable? Because I have this ribui, this inclusive aspect of multiple tzipor references. Halo Ravi Rahmana. So had the Torah not included them, then I would have thought it would be unfit. ikuvim and olan. Where would I have thought that binding is that the unfit aspect is becomes binding? Namely, that if they're not similar, he wouldn't fulfill his requirements. Well, I'll tell you where I would have got that idea. Salkadaita chamina tiyeksiv. The word tia appears in the context of mitzora. And we saw a reference to that earlier. The pasuk says, Zos tiyeh to tiyeh toras hamitzora. So the word tiyeh, which means it shall be as it is, it would sound that the requirements are binding. V'hashe d'ravi rachmona tzipor. Now that the Torah in fact has included the possibility of birds that are not similar as also being acceptable, tiyeh lamali. So what function does tiyeh fulfill? Answer, l'shar havayosoy shel mitzora, regarding the other mitzora procedures. The other mitzora procedures are binding. The Gemara asks, ihachi gabi tamidim nami nemo, regarding the korban tamid, let us say, kvasim. Miu kvasim equals shnayim. The word kvasim appears in the Torah, where reference is made to the daily public sacrifices, and it uses the plural word kvasim. That would mean two. Ma tamad lomar shnayim. Why does the Torah say, spell out two? When we speak about the daily public sacrifice, there were in fact two offered. One in the morning, tamid shel shachar, and the other in the afternoon, tamid shel beinu arbayim. But why does the Torah have to use the word shnayim when it already uses the word kvosim, sheep, in the plural? Shiu, shnayim shavim shnayim, means they should be similar. Uminayin shafapi she'en shnayim shavim ksherim. From where would I know that even if they're not similar, they're acceptable? Talmud Lomar, keves, keves, riba, u lemitzvah. That even if they're not similar, it's okay. However, the first choice, the best way, would be that they should be similar. Similar color, similar height, similar value. Hachi nami deboinon, is that really so, that as a first choice they should be similar? We don't find any reference to that. All we know is that you're supposed to provide on a daily basis two sheep for the Tomit Shel Shachar and the Tomit Shel Bein Arbayim, but a mitzvah that they should be similar, we don't find any reference to that. So that brings into question the whole approach that we've taken till now. The Gemara says, no question. Hahu miboyale lichiditanya. The shnayim reference is not a reference that they should be similar in the first place. There wasn't even a thought that they should be similar. So what is the role of shnayim? The pasuk says, shnayim layoim. Keneged hayom. The word shnayim layoim, it's the purpose of the pasuk is to emphasize the layom. Layom is a reference to the sun. Keneged hayom. Each one, there are two, but each one has to be opposite the direction or facing the direction upon which the sun is shining. So in the morning, the sun rising in the east, is its beams, its rays are cast westward. It lights up the west. In the afternoon, towards sunset, toward the end of the day, the sun is in the western part of the sky. It is shining upon, it's casting its rays upon the east. This has significance for where the tamid will be positioned at the point it is slaughtered, when it's slaughtered in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. There were a series of rings that were attached to the floor into which the animal's neck would be inserted. There were actually 24 rings. There were four rows of six rings in each row. And we have an illustration on the side of the Gemara that's a very superficial. It doesn't show you all 24 rings, but it shows you two of the four rows, the two extreme rows, and the note the directions in the diagram on the side of the Gemara of Mizrach and Marov. The diagram explains that which we will see in the source. But in the diagram, if you we use this as an introduction, in circles or in ovals, you see a reference to the sun, Shemesh Baboker, and Shemesh Beinu Arbayim. In the east, the sun is, of course, in the morning hours, so it's casting its rays down toward the west. So the morning animal, the Tomet Shel Shachar, shall be opposite the sun. What does that mean? It will mean that it will be slaughtered on the western row of rings. It's the second of the rings, the second ring away from the Mizbeach. The afternoon Tomet, being that the sun is in the west, it's shining down upon the east. So the afternoon, the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, will be positioned on the eastern row, easternmost row of rings, and slaughtered there. That's what Shnayim Layom will be teaching me. So now let's turn to the source. We said Shnayim Layom Keneged Hayom. Ata Oimer Keneged Hayom O Eino Ela Chovas Yom. We're on the last narrow line of the Gemara. Does Shnayim Layom, maybe it means that you shall bring two every day, not anything about positioning. Well, Kishu Omer Esakeves Echo Taseh Baboiker Esakeves Hasheni Taseh Ben Arbayim. The Pasuk says, one you will process in the morning, the second one you will process in the afternoon. Harei Chovas Hayom Omur. That Pasuk shows us what the daily number obligation is, that there shall be two every day. Uman imenkayim shnayim layom. So what do I do with this pasuk that says shnayim layom? Keneged hayom, opposite the sun. Ketzad, well, what do you mean by that? Tamid shel shachar, the morning tamid, sun rises in east, casts its rays down on the west. Hoyanishchal keren tzvoinis ma'arovis. Al tavas shnia. It is slaughtered on the northwestern, when we say here north, it's north of the Mizbeach, and you can see in the directions on the diagram what we mean by that. It's north, and also the western row of rings, second ring away from the Mizbeach. The Shel Bein Arbayim, the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim, sun is in the west, it's facing, it's casting its rays down toward the east. So, Shel Bein Arbayim, Hoyo Nishchat Al Keren Mizrochet Tzvonis, on the eastern row, again, north of the Mizbeach, the eastern row of rings, Al Tabas Hashinio, the second ring away from the Mizbeach. So, as far as the psukim concerning the Tomid, and the expectation that the Tomid, the two daily Tomid sacrifices, two Tomid sheep should be similar, we said that doesn't even begin. And that is explained by the fact that the Shnayim Layom has a totally different role. So I wouldn't have even thought about similarity in the context of the Tamidim in the first place. However, Musafin Shel Shabbos, the Pasuk says, Shnei Kivosim, in the case of the Shabbos Musaf sacrifices. Those are additional sacrifices. In addition to the daily sacrifices that are offered on Shabbos, there is the Musaf sacrifice. And those of you who are familiar with the Shabbos davening, the Musaf davening of Shabbos, they are referred to in the davening. And it says in the Torah, Shnei Kivosim. Kivosim is plural. Why does it say Shnei? So the Gemara says, Vadai tzrichim shu shneim shavim. There, it's clear that they should be similar. Rashi points out that they should be similar. It's a mitzvah for them to be similar. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a slash mark indicating a new trend of thought. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, under which we've written, Shnei Si'irei Yom Kippur Shishochtan Bachutz. The two Yom Kippur goat offerings that you slaughtered outside of the base Hamikdash. Once they are purchased, they become holy. Animals that are holy, and certainly animals that are designated as sacrifices, cannot be slaughtered outside the base Hamikdash. If done, that's called Shchutei Chutz. Shchutei Chutz is a very serious offense. It carries with it a Kores penalty. So we're going to be discussing what happens with regard to the Sirei Yom Kippur that one slaughtered outside. There's another very important point to understand the Isur of Shchutei Chutz. Slaughtering a korban outside the Beis Hamikdash and the kores penalty applies only to an animal that would have been suitable to be brought in the Beis Hamikdash as a sacrifice. If I'm not mistaken, for example, it might be accurate to say that Shchutei Chutz, other than the fact that you're doing it outside, all other characteristics would have to be the same as if it were inside. In other words, if you were to take a sacrifice, an animal designated as sacrifice, and shoot it and kill it without slaughtering it, that's not a violation of Shchutei Chutz. It's maybe a wrong thing to do, but it doesn't carry with it a kores penalty. You didn't treat it as a sacrifice. Killing is not the way you treat a sacrifice. Slaughtering is. And there are many other considerations before one can be said to be guilty of Shchutei Chutz. And we'll see more of that as we go along. Another point that will come under discussion, Tomit Shel Shachar, Sheshochta B'chutz Kodem Psichas Dalsas HaHechal. The Tomit Shel Shachar is the daily sacrifice brought in the morning in the Beis HaMikdash. It's actually brought fairly early. It's the first sacrifice brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Imagine someone took a Tomit Shel Shachar and slaughtered it outside the Beis HaMikdash, but he slaughtered it before the gates of the Beis HaMikdash were opened. We know that the Tomit Shel Shachar is not to be slaughtered until the gates of the Beis HaMikdash are opened. In the case we're describing, he is slaughtering it outside the Beis HaMikdash, but at a time it could not have been sacrificed in the Beis HaMikdash. And as we said a moment before, in order to violate Shchutei Chutz, everything else has to be in place, with the exception of the fact that he's doing it at the wrong location. But if other factors are changed, so then maybe he's not considered. And we say maybe, because that's going to be the discussion of the Gemara. Maybe he's not considered in violation of Shchutei Chutz. Now the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan. Shnei Sire Yoim HaKippurim. Sheshochton Bachutz. Rashi points out, and we mentioned it earlier, that as soon as you purchase them, they become holy. And that's because they're purchased from holy funds. So whatever kedusha was on the money is transferred onto these animals. And here he shechted them, he slaughtered them outside the Azara, outside the temple courtyard. Ad shelo higril alehen chayav al shneim. If he slaughtered them, both of them, outside the basement before the lots were drawn, both will be mechayev, will create guilt for Shchutei Chutz. Misha Higril Aleim, if the lots were drawn, and he slaughtered both of them outside. Now, once the lots were drawn, we know that one of them is a sin offering, a Chatas Lashem, and the other one is a send-away goat, a scapegoat carrying the sins. It's not really a sacrifice. It's not slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash. It's sent out alive to a cliff several kilometers outside east of Jerusalem. So if you slaughtered them outside the Azara after the lots were drawn, Chayav al shel shem upoter al shel azazel, one will be guilty only for having slaughtered the Sawyer Lashem. That's a real sacrifice, and here you're slaughtering it outside the Beis HaMikdash. But you will be exempt for having slaughtered the Sawyer Lazazel outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara continues. Ad shelo higru aleim chayav al shneim. The source told us that prior to the drawing of lots, in other words, you purchased two goats with holy funds. So good, they're both holy animals. And you slaughtered them both outside the Beis HaMikdash. Both impart or cause a Shchutei Chutz violation. L'mai chazu. But what are they fit for? Why are both? How can you say that both are mechayev him? We look in Rashi. Chayav al shneim. Rashi says, "Mishum shachut chutz l'kam aporach kodem agrola ma'chazu b'fnim." Before the drawing of the lots, what use were they in the azara? In other words, before drawing the lots, they're not suitable, they're not eligible for being brought as sacrifices. The cave of the Lochazu, since they're not fit, Amai Chayev, why do they generate a Shutei Chutz violation? Haroi LePesach Olmoi Boinon. The Shutei Chutz violation is with regard to only something that would have been fit to be brought inside the Azora as a Korban Dechtiv B'Shutei Chutz. The Pasuk says, in the context of Shutei Chutz, the violation, the prohibition of slaughtering outside, it says, V'al Pesach Olmoi LoHevio. He's guilty because he did not bring it in the Oyel Moed, in the Beis HaMikdash. So what do we see? We see that only something that could have been brought will generate the violation if you do it outside. But something that could not have been brought as a sacrifice, if you slaughter it outside, it shouldn't generate a violation. So why, prior to the drawing of the lots, is there a violation of Shlutei Chutz when slaughtering the outside? It's premature to have been brought in the Beis HaMikdash as a korban. Amar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda answers, Hoyil v'roi l'soyer hanase b'chutz. There's another Yom Kippur sacrifice that's part of the Musaf. It's a chatas, a sin offering, that's brought in on Yom Kippur as the Musaf of Yom Kippur, and it's spelled out in Parshas Pinchas, which is in Sefer Bamidbar, in contrast to the korbanos that are Yom Kippur, say Yom Kippur related korbanos spelled out in Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Achrei Mois. So these goats that you purchase with holy funds, each one would have been suitable to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash as the Soyer Hanase B'chutz. The word B'chutz, don't confuse it with outside the Beis HaMikdash. Chutz means outside the Heichal, outside the Holy of Holies, where it's slaughtered and blood is sprinkled in the Azora, which is Chutz. It's outside the Heichal. The Gemara continues, Umay Shno L'Soyer Hanase B'fnim Daloi. Well, what is the reason that Rav Chisda is answering that the guilt is because of the potential of it being brought as the chatas of the Musaf, and Rav Chisda did not say that it has the potential of being the Sor HaNasa Bifnim? Well, the reason for that is the Mechusar HaGrola, because it's a case before, we're talking about a case where the HaGrola, the lot drawing, hasn't been done yet. So since it's lacking HaGrola, it's not a candidate for the Sor HaNasa Bifnim. Sor HaNasa Bifnim is the goat that is slaughtered and whose blood is brought into the Holy of Holies and the Heichal. But before HaGrola, it's not suitable for that. Oh, so Mechusar HaGrola makes it unsuitable? Well, the Sor HaNasa B'chutz Nami Lo Chazi, the Mechasri Avodas Hayom. To say that these goats have the potential of being the Sor HaNasa B'chutz, that's not true. They don't have the potential. The Sor HaNasa B'chutz, the Musaf offering was done much later in the Yom Kippur day, after Avodas Hayom was done, after the blood applications and the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal were already done. So, and here you're slaughtering the two goats, one of which would be the subject of Avodas Hayom. You haven't reached the time of day for the Soyer Hanase B'chutz to begin with. Just like you're saying he's not guilty of Shutei Chutz because of the potential being Soyer Hanase B'chutz because Hagrola wasn't done. These animals don't have the potential of being a Soyer Hanase B'chutz because Avodas Hayom hasn't been done yet. The Gemara says that is not considered a lacking. Kosovar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda is of the opinion, Ein mechusar zman leboy bayom. When you're dealing with something that's a time factor, in other words, the time for bringing the Sor HaNasa B'chutz hasn't yet arrived, but since it's within the context of that same day, it's not considered lacking. Let us look at Rashi, the second line under the Gemara text, Ein mechusar zman leboy bayom leinyan sor achitzon, regarding the eligibility of the goats serving as the sorachitzon, ein kan chisaron maise begufo. There's nothing lacking that's inherent to the animal itself. El chisaron zman. There's just simply a time factor that's lacking. Shadayin lo higia zman hamusafin. The time for the musaf hasn't arrived yet. Uzman haroi lebo bayom ein zeh chisaron zman. A time that's going to arrive on that same day is not considered a lacking in time. Avol hagrola. The drawing of the lots, afogav the lav maisa begufon, even though that too is not something that takes place in the animals itself themselves. Doho amoron alias gorol mitoch kafi hiva keves avol anochin makeves. All that is binding with regard to lot drawing is the actual drawing of the lots or placing the lots on the animals' bodies. That's not a binding factor. Afilu hachi. Even so, hayul. Since lots are a mitzvah stated with regard to the animals themselves, these two goats, it's as if it's a lacking in the animal itself. So when we speak about the Shnei Seirim before Agrola shechted outside, and Rav Chisa says there's guilt here of Shulte Chutz because of a potential of being a Sor Anasa B'chutz, and he doesn't say a Sor Anasa B'chutz, the reason it's not a candidate for Sor Anasa B'fnim is because it's lacking an action that's considered a Maisa Begufo. It's an inherent lacking. And Rashi explained that even though it's not physical, nevertheless it's a mitzvah that's stated specifically with regard to that animal itself. Let's continue in the Gemara. We're picking up the Gemara, four lines from the bottom, at the end of the line, Omer Avina. Hashtav Yomer Rav Chisda, Mechusar Hagrolik and Mechusar Maisa Domi. Now that Rav Chisda introduces this Chiddush, that the lacking of the lot drawing is considered a significant, inherent to the animal lacking. Ha the Yomer of Yudam Shmuel. Concerning Shmuel's teaching, Shlomim Sheshachton Kodim Sheniftechu Dalsa Zaychol Psulim. Shmuel tells us that if one shechts a korban Shlomim before the opening of the gates of the Beis Hamikdash, such a korban would be rendered unfit. Shnemar V'Shachato Pesach O Moed, and you shall slaughter it opposite the open gates of the Beis Hamikdash. Bizman Shu Pasuach V'Lo Bizman Shu Nol. The drush on that pasuk is Pesach means opening, means literally a gate or a doorway, but here it's taken to mean open. When it's open, that's when you shecht, not when it's still closed. Well, with Rav Chisda's teaching in mind, and looking now at Shmuel's din, we continue at the top of Samach Gimel Omer Aleph. Shachton Bachutz Kodem Sheniftechu Das Zeichal. Imagine a person shechts a korban shlomim before the opening of the Beis Hamikdash doors, and he shechts them outside. So it's a shchutei chutz case, but it's shechted outside the Beis Hamikdash. Potter, the result would be exemption. This is Ravina's point. There would be exemption. Why? My taima, mechusar psicha ke mechusar maisa domi. The lacking in the opening of the gates is considered a lacking in the an inherent lacking. And we would use the svara that Rashi used before. It's a Rashi actually repeats this at the bottom line of Samach Beis Amid Beis. This is a mitzvah that is stated in the context of the Shlomim themselves. And since it's a mitzvah, even though the gates are not part of the body of the animal, but since it's a mitzvah stated regarding the Shlomim, it's considered a maisa begufon. It's considered an inherent lacking. And as per the rule concerning shchutei chutz is not guilty, is not considered violated unless everything else is in place except for the location. But here, not you're lacking an additional factor. The gates haven't been opened yet. Therefore, it couldn't have been brought inside as a korban. Therefore, when done outside, it does not constitute a violation of Shchutei Chutz. The Gemara asks, "Umi islay l'Rav Chisda hoyil?" Does Rav Chisda subscribe to this type of analysis of looking at things because of their potential? On the side of the Gemara, we have a series of points. Deos beinyan pesach sheshochta b'chutz b'shari mos hashana. Well, the Gemara will start a series concerning a korban pesach that is shechted outside the Beis Hamikdash, but not on the 14th of Nisan during the rest of the year. By the way, the rest of the year is not the time for bringing a korban pesach. The rest of the year, only the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon is the time for bringing a korban pesach. But he does so. He shechts the korban pesach outside some other time during the year. Two possibilities: lishmo, he has a korban pesach in mind, or shelo lishmo, he shechts it without having korban pesach in mind. A korban pesach that's done shelo lishmo during the rest of the year actually becomes a korban shlomim. Truth be told, this discussion is going to continue down a significant part of this omid, and in the context of the daf yomi shiur, this would be a reasonable place to pause, even though we are, in truth, in the middle of a sugya. As you can see, we're questioning that which Rav Chisda said on the bottom of Omid of Samach Beis Beis, where he used the term hoil in his analysis. Mirz Hashem, next time we'll have to reconstruct the sugya a little bit in order to pick up from this point. So let's just remind you, if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.